Welcome to Walking with God, Pat Barry and Jeff Quinto's podcast, where Pat and Jeff talk about their walk with Christ.
My name is Pat Barry.
And my name is Jeff Quinto. And Pat and I get together every couple of weeks and we talk about our favorite topic, which is our walk with the Lord. And that's what the start of this is. That's what this podcast is meant to be about. Today, we're going to be talking about taking a leap of faith as it relates to Christianity and our faith journey. We're going to talk about what this leap of faith is, how do you do it, and why would you do it?
You know, the actual term leap of faith is not found anywhere in the Bible. However, there are countless examples throughout with some very good definition found in Hebrews 11:1, which is, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Great definition there. Did you know leap of faith actually originated in a religious context? Soren Kierkegaard coined the expression as a metaphor for belief in God. He argued that truth cannot be found by observation alone, but must be understood in the mind and heart apart from empirical evidence. Since we cannot observe God with our eyes, we must have faith that He is there. We jump from material concepts to the immaterial with a leap of faith.
A leap of faith. Well, let's talk about faith for a minute, and let's define it here for these purposes today as really three parts. We have cultural Christianity. That would be Christianity where everybody I know is a Christian. My parents were Christians. Their parents were Christians. My faith isn't that important to me, but everybody I know is a Christian, so I guess that I'm a Christian. That would be one level of Christianity.
Correct.
Then we have another level. We'll call that intellectual Christianity. That's where we're trying to prove everything scientifically about Christianity. We want it to prove itself to us as if we were proving some sort of a mathematical equation or some sort of scientific experiment. That would be another part. We'll call that intellectual Christianity. But let's talk about the really big one, which we're calling spiritual Christianity. And spiritual Christianity, for our purposes, is the complete surrender of your entire life with your eyes open, with your mind open, and with your heart fixed on the Lord in all parts of your life. So this is what we want to get to. This leap of faith is meant to take us to this third level of Christianity, the spiritual Christianity where we surrender our lives, we're all in our minds, all in our hearts. Everything about us is pointed toward the Lord.
Right. I think a lot of people start off either as cultural Christianity or I believe intellectual Christianity. And, you know, as the cultural Christianity goes, you're just kind of rolling along, not really knowing what this means, which is not a great place to be. You've got to get out of that place. But the intellectual Christianity is also not the best place to be, in my opinion, because you understand what's going on. You accept it in your mind that Christ died for our sins, and you understand biblical principles. You get that intellectually, but down deep in your spirit, there's always this gnawing. There's something that you're thinking that's not there. You're looking for more. You're wanting more. And the reason is it's because you have not taken the leap of faith to where you completely surrender to Jesus Christ. And that, in turn, leads to all kinds of things that opens up for you in your life.
Absolutely. And of course, you mentioned this beautiful, beautiful verse from Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, there's a part of it there. It's not just proving it to ourselves as being true. It's knowing it deep inside us and even knowing parts that we cannot see.
Right. And when you're intellectually, when you have an intellectual, I guess, sort of understanding of Christianity, you are going to know that in your mind. But you're not going to be certain. You aren't going to be, because it hasn't gotten into you. Chances are there's a lot of people listening to us right now that are saying, I'm there. I was there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And until you kind of have that aha moment, it'll be kind of gnawing away on you.
Yeah. And the thing is that this cultural Christianity, this intellectual Christianity, is somewhat satisfying, but it doesn't change your life. It perhaps makes your life better than it would have been otherwise, more ordered and more structured and more pointed in the right direction, but you're not going to get there. You're not going to get the whole way.
Right. When we're talking about a life-changing faith, You don't find that in cultural. You don't find that in intellectual. And it's because, again, it's not the guiding focus in your life. It's not where you place all of your emphasis.
Yeah. And you know, the Hebrews 11, the 11th chapter is a beautiful chapter. And if you have a chance to read it, you ought to read it because it talks about people from the past. It talks about Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and all these others who took this leap of faith and how it changed things, how it changed their lives, how it changed the world in the process. And so you have a sense of that. I love the story of Peter in the boat. We've talked about that, you and I, before.
Right.
And that's sort of us. The image of Peter stepping out of the boat where he tells Jesus, you know, if you say so, I'll come out of the boat. And he comes out of the boat and he starts to walk on the water, staring at Jesus. And the minute he looks away, he starts to sink. That's sort of a metaphor for you and I, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
And it's a metaphor as it relates to exactly what we're talking about now, because Peter understood intellectually that Jesus was Lord. He was part of this culture that believed in God. So he was part of all of that. The thing that he lacked, though, was this complete surrender to God, complete surrender to Jesus, knowing that Jesus would take care of him no matter what.
Absolutely. Sort of like another great scripture line from Mark, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah, that's us,
man,
isn't it?
Isn't it? And it was written, I know you and I have discussed this before, at the time where this is written and you think, wow, that really applies to me today. Well, when this was written 2,000 years ago, these are people who had Jesus with them. They saw what he did. And what we are reading about in scripture is just a small fraction of what he accomplished while he was here. Most of the stuff that he did, we don't read about. And you had people that were with him every day, and they still doubted. They still weren't quite all there.
Yeah.
So as much as we beat ourselves up, it gives me a lot of hope.
I think it should, and I think it's meant to. You know, if whoever's writing the Bible didn't have this and just had that everybody who saw Jesus believed in him and life went on beautifully, it wouldn't help us, because what helps us is an understanding that we're like these other people. They actually had Jesus in front of them. The guy who said, I believe, help my unbelief, was staring at Jesus at that moment. Well, you and I don't have the chance to stare at him at this moment, not physically stare at him. And so we take comfort in that, knowing that somebody who can look at Jesus in the eye and still say, I believe, help my unbelief, tells us that it's okay. It's okay to question. It's okay not to be perfect, but you need to keep trying.
Absolutely. And it also, I think, argues for the fact that all these things are true. Now, you're thinking about it. If it weren't true, why would you put that in there? Why would you have people with doubt? Why would you put some of those things in scripture where people are doubting and God is having to come back a second and a third time? Noah, build that ark. Abraham, take that journey. You know, Moses, lead those people out of Israel. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't it be all in a nice, neat little bow? So to me, the imperfections that you see in scripture argues more for the truth.
Oh, absolutely it does. You brought up some great examples. All of those tried not to do what they were asked to do. In the case of Moses, he said that he stuttered, he couldn't be a speaker, he couldn't lead people. Abraham didn't want to kill his son, but he was willing to do that if that's what God wanted. All of these things, it speaks to this, and it speaks to you and I. It speaks to you and I in our imperfection, pointing us in the right direction, circling back to this leap of faith. You know, that's what we're hoping to have, this leap of faith where we surrender completely to God. And the other things that come to mind, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's what Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 1:18. So it's telling us that this power of the cross is for those who believe, those who have this spiritual understanding, this spiritual faith, this leap of faith. Then the cross becomes our Savior. It saves us by the power of God.
Absolutely. Where do we see these leaps of faith going on today, do you think?
Well, a lot of places, and in our lives, because I think God is involved in the world in total, and he's involved in us individually. And so if we just listen and open our eyes, we can see God involved in our lives, and we can see God in the world. You know, in China today, the church is under great persecution. People lose their liberty, they lose their lives for being Christians, and yet Christianity is growing. Now, you and I don't have this problem. We talk about, oh, well, the churches are closed because of the pandemic. Isn't that horrible? But you know what? God can use evil for good. Even in this pandemic, look what's happened. We have Christianity. More people are engaging with Christianity today than did a year ago. And why is that? It's because the internet. God can use evil for good. We're told that in Genesis 50. It happens today. It happens in the same way that we think of this, oh, this is terrible, poor us, and God uses it for good.
Great point. Something else that we've talked about, and I know we've mentioned Noah and Abraham and Peter and some of these, well, they all did remarkable things. Obviously, they're in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So I don't want people to get the wrong idea of taking a leap of faith. It doesn't mean you need to lead a bunch of people out of the to the promised land or build an ark. You know, maybe depending on what it is, maybe for you, it is setting foot in a church or checking out a church online for the first time in years. Maybe it's going and making up with a friend or a family member that you've had an argument with a long time ago. You know, maybe it's just getting closer to your spouse or child. It doesn't have to be a major, major thing. Maybe it's just coming home to Jesus Christ and making him the center of your life rather than what it is. Because really, when all this stuff goes away, that's what he wants the most. That's the whole reason he came here in the first place. And the stories about Moses and Abraham and Peter, they're all great, but it's all for one reason. And that is so everyone can have eternal life. And what that means is everyone believes unto Jesus Christ. Each transformation is a victory. And it doesn't have to be a major thing. You know, you don't have to go to the deepest, darkest parts of the world and be a missionary. It's just turning your life over. That is a major, major achievement.
Absolutely. And you do it by committing yourself to Christ. You know, the will of God is expressed in 2 Peter, God not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's what God is looking for. He isn't looking for anything more than you to reach repentance. Repentance means to turn away from the world and to turn toward God. And you'll have everlasting life. You'll have life forever.
Which is a great reason why you should do it.
Yeah, that would be a good reason. You're getting a free gift. You're getting a free gift.
It is a free gift.
That you couldn't buy. If you had all the money in the world, it couldn't be bought. And you're getting it free of charge just by turning to God.
It's that easy. It's the easiest, and it's the most difficult thing to do. And you will have a joy in your life that you have not known before. Things will start to look different to you, and you know, not all at once, but over time, you will be transformed. You just will be. You let him work in your life, great things are going to happen.
Yeah, great things are going to happen of a really important nature. Now, this isn't to say that your credit cards are going to instantly be paid off,
right,
and that your job is going to get better, your boss
right,
won't be so mean, things will be different. It means that things that are really important will change. You said earlier, Pat, about making up with a sibling or with a family member.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that God looks at that as being monumentally important.
Absolutely.
It's not just a small thing. In other words, the thing God wants to do, the thing that he wants to rescue from is these kinds of things that exist between people that are so unhealthy, that are hurtful and unnecessary.
That's one of the biggest things about Christianity, is you really start to focus in over what's important versus what the world says is important. And you have an understanding of what the world says is important isn't, and what God says is important truly is.
Yeah. And so you have a different vantage point, a different view of everything. And it doesn't mean that everything works perfectly in your life, but it means that you have this peace that defies all understanding, that surpasses all understanding. And, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight, we're told by Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It's the truth of it, isn't it?
It is.
We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Pat and I started this podcast with an idea, and the idea is reflected in something that C.S. Lewis said many, many years ago. He said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. You see, that's what we believe. We believe that this Christianity is in fact true, and it's infinitely important. And if you treat it as anything but the most important thing in your life, you're never going to connect in the way that God intends for you to connect. You're never going to make this leap of faith we've been talking about unless you decide that this Christianity is of infinite importance, the single most important thing in your life. If you decide that, all things will open up to you and you will have a peaceful, happy life that is different than the life you have. It will contain challenges, it'll contain problems, but you'll know there's more to it than what you see right here. If you join me in prayer, Lord, we thank you for giving us the chance to understand this leap of faith toward you. We know that we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be the people you would have us be in the way you would have us be. Protect us from harm and help us to help other people as we walk along this way. In Jesus' holy and mighty, mighty name, amen.
Amen.